Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you will find 1 Corinthians 12 on page number 959 of the Black Pew Bible. Last week, I reminded you of Brandon's statement from several months ago. What would lakes look like if everyone maximized their spiritual gifts? We kicked off our study of spiritual gifts with a survey look of Ephesians chapter 4. We dipped our toe into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 last week. Today, we hope to dive in head first, but please indulge me one more illustration. Last Sunday, one of our young families preparing to come to church put their kids in the car and their little girl in a car seat, strapped them in, and away they came to church. Well, apparently, on the way to church, this little girl in the car seat, her leg fell asleep. True story. Her leg fell asleep. When they got to church, they unstrapped her from the car seat, sent her down on the parking lot, and she couldn't stand up because her leg was asleep. So Dad had to carry her, and he carried her into church. What she needed was for the circulation to come back to her leg so that it would work properly. Well, lakes, have some of you fallen asleep? You don't work properly. You need your circulation to improve so that you can stand up and walk. Is someone having to carry you because you've fallen asleep? Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, we looked at verses 1, 2, and 3 a little bit last week. We'll do a little bit more today. But if you look at verses 4 through 11, and as I was reading over those, if you look at those verses, I counted 17 intriguing words in those verses. And those 17 intriguing words all deserve our consideration. But if we do them all at once, it might overwhelm us a bit. So we're going to spread them out and interject them occasionally. But I want you to look at verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and see the word varieties. Varieties. Then I want you to skip down to verse 10 and see the word various. Varieties and various. Now, this word is interesting because this is what it means, and you need to listen carefully. Because this word means the same but different. And you say, huh? The same but different. So two words. Watermelon, blueberry. The same, but different. Give you two more words, actually three. Kiwi fruit and banana. The same, but different. They're all fruit. But isn't it interesting about fruit? That fruit comes in all sorts of shapes, sizes, colors, tastes, textures, all the same, and yet gloriously different. Now, part of my gift is to stand here and to feed you God's word. That's part of my gift. Others of you practice hospitality. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. And praise the Lord for nursery workers. Thank you. But let me ask you a question. Are you a plum, a peach, or a pomegranate? What do you feel like? What do you taste like? What do you look like? Because it doesn't matter if you're a plum, a peach, or a pomegranate. But nobody has the gift of sucking on lemons. But what kind of fruit are you? So please join me in standing and let's read our text for today. I'll begin again in verse 1. Follow along. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Heavenly Father, thank you for this variety. Thank you for this challenge to us. Help each one of us to understand that if we are in Christ, you are speaking to us today through Paul, through your Spirit. So open the eyes of our understanding, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. So if you're following along in your outline, you'll see there we're going back to verses 1 through 3. And what we pointed out last week is Paul is laying a foundation for us on spiritual gifts. And we see there in this foundation, Paul's focus is on spiritual gifts. And this is a good place for us to interject another one of those 17 words because it pops up here in verse 4. If you look at verse 4, Brandon preached on this a few weeks ago on January 8th from Ephesians chapter 3. Brandon preached to us about the word grace. I listened to the message this week, I think on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. Listened to that message. Very good message. Excellent. And the point that Brandon was making is that we're accustomed to think about saving grace. And he talked about Ephesians 2, verse 8. And this grace that we recognize is God's saving grace, and we're accustomed to think that grace only has to do with saving us. But it has so much more to do than just our salvation. This is what Brandon pointed out, that grace not only saves us, but it impacts our lives in so many different ways. It is the means by which we grow in Christ. In other words, we grow in grace. But also we see here that this grace that God has given us is the grace in which we stand. This is Romans 5, verse 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. And we stand in this grace. And this grace enables us to realize the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, which is the glory of God. But let me back up a little bit here, because what we want to see is this word grace is the word charis. The word charis. This is grace, it's a familiar word. It is an important root word, and from this root word, we get, well, let me find it here. Is there the one with charisma, Dave? The slide with charisma? Thank you. Charis is grace. Charisma is a grace gift. We have to stop here. Said it last week, and I will say it repeatedly through these chapters. If you have repented of your sin and called upon the name of the Lord, you are a Christ follower. You have experienced saving grace. And if you have experienced saving grace, then you not only have been given the Holy Spirit, we'll look at this later, but you have been given charisma, a grace gift. God has graced you with a gift. And this gift is the way that God intends for us individually to minister to his body, the church. So this saving grace that Brandon mentioned and this sanctifying grace or standing grace that we have, this is all God's gift, God's goodness to us. So, skip back down on your outline to number 1A and note that these gifts are for Christ followers. Now, look at verse 7 and look at verse 11. Because in verse 7, it says, to each. Look at verse 11. We have each. And who's the each? We're the each. Individually. Collectively. But we are the each. God has given a gift to us, each of us. And this is a spiritual gift. This is charisma. Each one of us. But we'll go back to verse 1. Because some of us would say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, you're uninformed. Because you have a gift. Even if you don't know what it is, you have a gift. If you think you have a gift, but you've never really looked into it or considered it or what would the Lord have me to do, then the other meaning of that word is ignorant. Are we choosing willful ignorance towards spiritual gifts, specifically my spiritual gift? Well, this is the benefit of my salvation, my saving grace, supernatural grace in my life, and this is how I function in the body using my gift. But as we look there in verse 2, apparently part of the problem in Corinth was that they were including their former life, their life in idolatry and paganism. They were wanting to pull that former life into their current church life or church worship. All of us, saved from a life of sin, and to varying degrees, our life before Christ, characterized by sinful attitudes and actions, and all of that stuff is from before. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we're putting those things behind us, but apparently in Corinth, they were wanting to pull some of their paganism, their idolatry, into their current worship. Why? Who knows? How? We're not told. But look at what Paul says. The Holy Spirit will always glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Were some of them or all of them bringing the name of Christ into disrepute, knowingly or willingly bringing in paganism? I mean, this was the sin of Israel in the Old Testament, wanting to bring in from pagan religions something to kind of juice up their worship of the Lord. And Paul says, listen, this can't happen. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Christ. He will not curse Christ. And we need to be on the same page regarding this. We can't bring into our worship things from our old lives or from pagan religions. Our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ is pure, motivated by the Holy Spirit. Well, secondly, we want to notice the manifestation of the Spirit, and this is what begins in verse 4, going down to verse 11. And this manifestation of the Holy Spirit is divine unity, or supernatural unity. This is revealed to us in the Trinity. Look at verse 4, you'll see the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 5, and you will see the Lord Jesus Christ. We considered this last week from Ephesians 4. Look at verse 6, and you will see God the Father. You cannot separate spiritual gifts from the Trinity. That's why verse 2 is so terrible. Because we're talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we cannot bring our paganism, our idolatry, into the Trinity. So look at verse 1. See the word spiritual, small case s. It means of the Spirit. Look at verse 3. And you see Spirit capital S, and Spirit capital S three times. Then look at verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and you will see Spirit capital S two times each. Look at verse 11. And obviously, the Holy Spirit is the focal point of all of this. You cannot separate spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And why would we be surprised about this? Well, we're not. Think back in your mind to John's gospel, John 14, 15, and 16. In John 14, Jesus says, I'm going away. But don't worry, you know the way. And they say, how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. And he says, I am the way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then he proceeds to lay out for them, I'm going away, but I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm providing for you another helper who is the Holy Spirit. And in those three chapters, John 14, 15, 16, he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, it's not surprising for us to see in 1 Corinthians 12 the relationship between the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. But let's look here in John. John chapter 14 and these verses 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And we know from Romans and Ephesians that at our salvation, we are baptized into the Holy Spirit, and that means he indwells us. That's what Jesus promised here in John, and that's in fact what God delivers. At our salvation, we get the Holy Spirit. So this brings us to an important question. We look at 1 Corinthians 12 and we say, is our spiritual gifts of the Trinity or the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, it's both. We don't need to dissect it, but here it's been presented to us. So we rejoice in this. So let's next look at the human beneficiaries of unity. Verse 1 is obvious. The word brothers equals Christ followers, those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. This is Matthew chapter 16. If I am in Christ, I am identified as a brother, as a Christ follower. But notice verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, the pronoun you. The pronoun you connects directly to the brothers, to the Christ followers. Then look at the rest of the verses in this section. Look at them all and skim down through this. You see the word everyone. You see the word each. You see the word one, speaking of an individual. You see the word another, speaking of an individual. And then all of it wraps up with verse 11, where Paul says, each one individually. This is all of us individually. We are a fruit. We look different. We taste different. We feel different. But each one of us has been gifted, and now we've been blended together in this fruit salad. Each one of us. Paul is addressing us as Christ followers, and there's no way to get around this. Each one of us. You may think that you are the exception. I don't have a spiritual gift. And if you think that, you are uninformed. You may think, well, I have a spiritual gift, but I'm not obligated to use it. You are uninformed. You're wrong. You can't get out of this. All of us are here. Well, there's another word that I'd like for us to consider this morning. Look at verse 5. It's the word service. And the word service is an excellent word. You've already heard it this morning. It's the word from which we get deacon. This is diakonos, deacon. And here, you say, wait, is God calling me to be a deacon? No. It's interesting that the Bible uses, in most of these gifts, the Bible uses these words two ways. One is a specific fulfillment, and the other is a general fulfillment. So we have a deacon in service here, Mark Johnson. He serves us in the sound booth, and he provides some leadership and direction. There are other people who serve in the sound booth. Mark is the deacon, but other people serve with him. And in the Bible, a deacon is the one who leads us in service. The first service, Bill Nicholas, seated right over here. And Bill is a deacon of Building and Grounds. And he serves us by taking care of this building, the house next door, and the grounds. But he doesn't do it alone. Right across the aisle from Bill was Rod Knutson, who has been here an incredible amount lately, working on a project that most of you probably don't know anything about, but he has been serving us by fixing this problem. Others of you have been here in one way or another, taking care of the building or the grounds. We have someone who leads us, a deacon, and the rest of us serve at their direction or leadership and making sure that things get done. Now, the word deacon is interesting because it has to do with waiting tables. It's a waiter, a waitress. We all know we get to a restaurant, someone seats us, we're told that so-and-so is going to be our waiter or waitress. So-and-so comes, what can I get you to drink? The waiter, the waitress, is there to meet our needs, our wants. And in the body of Christ, we all serve. We all serve one another. We see a need or a want. We meet it. We take care of it. I gave this illustration in the first service, and I'll tell you about the illustration, the need, and I'll tell you already someone met it. Now, on Sunday morning, between services, I usually make my way downstairs, and one of the things that I do is I go into the restroom. I know that's TMI. But part of my journey to the restroom is to go to the sink. And if you know how things work around here, our kids have been downstairs for a while now. And I don't know what it's like in the ladies' restroom, but in the men's restroom, it genuinely appears as though a couple of the boys have been swimming in the sinks. There's water everywhere. One of the things that I do on Sunday morning is I wipe up that water. Is that my job? Yeah, it is. It is my job. And every one of you guys who use the downstairs restroom, it's your job too. So when I went into the restroom, somebody had already wiped up the water. Thank you. If you're in here now, whether you heard the illustration before or not, thank you for wiping up the water. I don't know how the boys can get that much water out of the sink, but they do. How do you serve? We'll come back to this in just a minute, but all of us are called to serve. Well, I'm too good. Turn your Bibles to Philippians 2. We read the passage. It's on page number 980 of the Black Pew Bible. I read this passage to begin the service, but I find myself in a unique position. Last week I had way too much material, and this week I don't have enough. You may think that's a miracle, and I don't have the gift of miracles. But that may be a miracle today, so we'll spend a little bit of time in Philippians chapter 2. Do you recall the old TV commercial, guy walking down the sidewalk, eating peanut butter out of the jar, and a woman walking the opposite direction, eating a chocolate bar? They bump into each other, and we're told that's how we got Reese's peanut butter cups. Well, that's what happens in the church. You do this, and I do this, and we bump into each other on the way. And it's a good bump. because I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do, and you're doing what the Lord has called you to do, and I'm humbly serving the body, you're humbly serving the body, and we rejoice when we find each other doing what we're supposed to do and serving the body. What if my gift is teaching? What if my gift is encouragement? What if my gift is hospitality? That's not the only thing I have to do. It's not the only thing I'm called to do. I am called to use my gift. But it's bigger than this. And look at Philippians 2. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. This participation in the Spirit, I'm doing what God has called me to do. I am being like Christ. I'm being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ. And what is this mind? This mind is a mind of humility. And this mind is a mind of humble service. If I am too proud to serve you, I do not have the mind of Christ. If I'm waiting back for people to serve me, I don't have the mind of Christ. This is all about me. But for Christ, it was all about us and glorifying God. And look at verse 7. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, a waiter. Being born in the likeness of men, he emptied himself. Hey, Lakes, we're not like everybody else. We're not like the world out there. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And I want it now. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. And we do things differently than everybody else does. We don't talk like other people. We don't think like other people. We don't act like other people. Inside or outside of this building, doesn't matter. We are different than everyone else because we have the mind of Christ. We are not conceited. We have humbled ourselves. We have taken on the form of a servant. Do you recall Mark 10:45? Where Mark penned, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Dear ones, who are you called to serve? Because you're a Christ follower. Who are you serving, and how has the Lord uniquely gifted you to serve in the body, to strengthen one another? I went to SIM, a missions agency in North Carolina this summer, and that's the missions agency of David and Diane Knutson. And one of their slogans is, it takes two hands to wash one. I thought that was interesting. I'm sure there's a way you can do one, but it sure is easier if you have two. Takes two hands to wash one. Well, inside the body of Christ, we are serving each other. And as we're serving each other, we're bumping into one another. We're all doing what we're called to do. We're doing it cheerfully, not grudgingly. No one has the gift of sucking on lemons. But yet uniquely, God has created us as individual fruit tossed into one salad. So go back to 1 Corinthians, turn over to chapter 10, and look at chapter 10, because chapter 10, look at verse 23. Maybe you have a heading in your Bible, like mine. The heading is, "Do all to the glory of God." We remember this passage. We just looked at it a couple of months ago. But slide down to verse 31. "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." What has the Lord given you to do? How has the Lord enabled you to serve? We don't all do the same thing. But whatever the Lord has called me to do or be, there are times when things happen, things come along. There we are. We do it. We wipe up the sink counter. While we're picking on the boys, every once in a while, you go into the bathroom, usually during the week, just checking the building after services on Sunday, and somebody has locked one of the stall doors and crawled out. Hopefully it's none of you. So you either have to crawl under, or the wise choice is to go get a screwdriver. Is that my job? And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. Is that your job? Whose job is it when our boys do that? Whose job is it? It's your job. It's our job. None of us can say, "I don't have a gift." What is your gift? What has the Lord called you to do? How has the Lord enabled you to serve? Because all of us, each of us, have a gift. All of us have been called to the grace of salvation, the grace of growing in Christ, the grace of serving in Christ, and here is our call. Do you remember the little chorus, "We are the body of the Lord"? It's very simple. We are the body of the Lord. We are the body of the Lord, united in Christ and working together. We are the body of the Lord. The second verse is, "We are the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord, united in love and growing together. We are the temple of the Lord." Let's sing it together. We are the body of the Lord. We are the body of the Lord, united in Christ and working together. We are the body of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord, united in love and growing together. We are the temple of the Lord. Let's close. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Amen. God bless you.